welcome everyone to another episode of For the Love of Cinema. My name is Grayson Maxwell, and joining me only one of my co-hosts this week.
Hey everyone, it's Nick Morris.
Nick Stars and Stripes Morris. How the heck are you, buddy?
Oh man, I am fantastic. I've had quite the weekend, I'll tell you.
Really?
Yeah. I hung out with a bunch of friends, you know, went bar hopping, walked from a casino home, went to a couple grad parties, and a male baby shower.
Is that a thing?
I mean, I guess it was a baby shower for both people, but yeah, I mean, like a diaper party, you know?
Any excuse people will do to get money.
Money and gifts.
Well, that's, you know, because people do all kind of like gender reveal parties. That's just weird. It's just an excuse to get people to give them presents and come give them gift cards or whatever. I mean, I'm all about, you know, cool gender reveal parties, but
I've never been to one.
Never.
I've never been to a gender reveal party, yeah.
You know, I would bet a lot of people share that. I bet a lot of people also have never been to a gender reveal party.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Who the heck knows, actually?
But what about you? What have you been up to?
Well, this weekend's been kind of crazy, actually. It's, Saturday there was a debacle. A friend of mine actually passed away on Friday.
Sorry for your loss.
It was a friend I hadn't seen in a while, but it was kind of it took me most of the day to come to terms. It took me like most of the day to like someone that our age is no longer with us.
Yeah.
And it's just rough because it was sudden. No one expected it, but my heart goes out to the family involved. My prayers are with them. That's never a good thing for anybody.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So, yeah, that's, unfortunately, that's how that one shook down. But on a different note, we have some stuff to talk about today. Nick,
yeah,
how excited are you?
Oh yeah, very excited. A couple new movies came in to the box office, I believe.
What are you hearing about Deadpool 2?
Nothing but good things, to be honest. And I didn't go see it, which I want to this week, but I didn't have enough time to catch it. But man, you hear about it, and you just gotta say it's quite fantastic what Ryan Reynolds has brought to that character.
You know, it's funny because people hated the fact that Deadpool was in that X-Men Origins movie.
Oh, yeah.
But then I'm surprised the studio was okay with letting him do that again because people hated Deadpool being in that movie.
Yeah.
But
well, granted, I think it was like a different Deadpool or in the comic. I don't know much about the comics, but a different version, granted. And I know it wasn't Ryan Reynolds he didn't like it, I believe, is what I heard. But he had a vision for it, and I believe he certainly killed it.
He just made it his own. Although I was super excited that movie even existed.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest about that. I really was in love with, I was in love with the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That movie gave us. Maybe it was for that movie. The movie ended up being kind of a dud. But even, I thought Deadpool in the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie was kind of like, he was overkill as a villain. It was kind of like the Spider-Man 3, just too many villains. Just too much going on.
Yeah.
I think that movie fell victim to that. Mm-hmm. But that's just how I see it. I don't know if that's...
Now, were you saying the X-Men movie was a dud?
No.
No? Were you talking about Deadpool?
I was talking about the X-Men movie, but I like the original Deadpool, though.
Yeah. I mean, I think Ryan Reynolds, he fought for it, you know, and it was a passion for him. And it just goes to show what happens when you follow through with your passions and, hell, you get something done and it looks spectacular.
Like, yeah. Deadpool was, I think, a surprising hit that the studio didn't really think was going to be as big. But
yeah. Yeah.
Super excited about that one. We're talking about that one next week. So be prepared to tune into that episode. Should be a really good episode next week. Also, so what else going on, Nick? Just kind of living it up this weekend?
Huh? Sorry.
What else you have going on this week?
Just living it up? So Dwayne had a graduation party. So I went to that. It was up in Pittsburgh.
Oh, Dwayne Jelks.
Yeah, Dwayne Jelks.
Dwayne Jelks, who we both worked with at the OG.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne, what's he up to these days?
Oh, man, like you said, he just graduated.
Good for him.
So he's in that little moment, I told him, I was like, listen, man, you know, you're a hard worker. You know, we were roommates, and he was a Marine for 4 years before he went to school. So I just told him, I was like, listen, man, don't feel bad if you want to take a break, but he's going to a job fair in a couple weeks or something. And just trying to get that big boy job, you know?
Man, we're all looking for that big boy job.
Yeah. Very true.
that's a thing. I think everyone's looking for that one big boy job. That one I can say for sure. But I think some people find, some people don't, but it doesn't matter. But congratulations to Dwayne. He's out there in the world now doing his thing. You're officially an adult, Dwayne. Good for you. All right, the box office for the weekend. What do you think is number one, Nick?
Well, I'm going to take a crack at it. Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2 did take the title away from Avengers.
And you know what?
Well, we also expected that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that was,
exactly.
You know, people all expected that. And off a $110 million budget, the worldwide... No, I'll start with the domestic total is $125 million. The foreign total is $176.
Wow, man.
Making it $301 million worldwide for Deadpool 2. That's awesome.
That really is. That's awesome.
Good for Deadpool.
What did... I can't believe I forget, but what did Avengers open up to? Is it 500? Or...
The first, almost 600. The first, 600, you know, from whenever it opened, sometimes in the weeks, like Tuesday, some cities got it Wednesday, and then up till Sunday was, I think, what, like 600 million?
Yeah, I think so.
Lord.
Still, man, I mean, this Deadpool's not your average comic book superhero movie. And I think that's why everyone digs it. I mean, I can't wait to watch it. You know, I've been waiting since the end of Deadpool.
Well, we're kind of on this, especially on this show, we're kind of on the week behind schedule only because I want things to be fresh in my mind. We talk about it, so I'm kind of the week behind. But definitely, that's one I didn't catch. I mean, I would consider that big enough to watch on release, but you know, I just, time being what it is, and you know, my big boy job being as busy as it is, couldn't really get into it. But I will get to that this week. And number two. No surprise to anyone. Avengers Infinity War. No official budget given, but it's looking at $1.8
billion. Oh, my God.
That is so much money.
Wow.
It's still bringing it in, and this is a little example. It brought in 28.6 this week. Like, that's not even a small number. Like, most movies don't make that week two.
Yeah, man, that is crazy.
This is week four.
That's awesome, man.
But you know what's number three?
What?
You want to take a stab at it? 50 Shades of Grey is referenced in this movie.
Oh, the book club.
The book club.
The book club, man.
Yeah, no budget given. It only has a domestic total of $12.5 million.
I'm telling you, that's one of those movies that's like a secret funny movie.
I think so. I really do think so. It's gonna have some. It's got really good talent. So I have a feeling it's gonna be fun to watch. Craig T. Nelson has the after effects of Viagra in the trailer, and the cop's like, well, have a good night, and then she winks at the person that he's in the car with. She's like, you have a good night, too.
You have a good night, too. That's good.
We're actually excited about watching Book Club, and I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because number four, I enjoyed watching Life of the Party.
Oh, yeah.
One of our other co-hosts, Roger, has been doing nothing but crapping on that movie for the past, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. But this movie is hilarious. I get some Wedding Crashers vibe from it. I get old school vibe from it. I get all kinds of other vibe, Animal House vibe from it. But we're going to talk about that one a little bit later. But no official budget given. Worldwide total so far of $36.8 million. That's not too bad for an R-rated comedy.
Yeah.
And number five, Breaking In. We're not doing pretty well with that. Worldwide, $30 million. Domestic is $28.7 million. Foreign is $1.7 million. So, $6 million budget, though, it's doing okay. It's made its money back times, you know, several times five.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, we're going to go through this list, but I'm looking at it. It's just, these are kind of movies that you just throw out there to fill?
No, it made money. It's $6 million budget. It's made $30 million. Like, they're made their money, they're banking, like, it's pure profit now every time they sell a chick. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. So, I mean, I don't know. Small scripts with small budgets, when they make a lot of money, it's big for that studio.
Yeah, true.
Number six, Show Dogs. No official budget given. Worldwide total of $6.7 million. Not doing great. Will Arnett probably cost more than that to get him in the movie.
So. Yeah, I mean, what's this? I'm reading.
And the voices, Jordan Sparks. She's a wonderful female artist. Gabriel Iglesias, hilarious. Shaquille O'Neal, we all know what he did. Baseball, right? I'm kidding. And Stanley Tucci. We all love Stanley Tucci.
Max, a macho solitary Rottweiler police dog, is ordered to go undercover as a primped show dog in a prestigious dog show, along with his human partner to avert a disaster from happening.
Sounds like a real winner, doesn't it? Oscars all over that one.
Oh, man. Oh, what's that? Miss Congeniality? Is that the second one?
I can't
one
believe you're referencing Miss Congeniality yeah. with show dogs. But oh, okay. Show dog. Overboard, number 7. No budget given, but bringing in a very respectable $49.1 million. That's not bad for that movie.
Yeah,
the foreign market's finally caught up, and it's got that's domestic market $36 million. The foreign market's almost at 13, so not bad actually for that one. And A Quiet Place, $17 million budget, worldwide total so far of $296 million.
That's amazing.
Jeez, that is. Those are wonderful numbers for those.
John Krasinski sure did a number on that movie, directing it, starring, and
we know who won't be in the sequel.
Very true.
All right, Rampage, number 9.
That's kind of surprising to see that still on there.
Rampage.
Well, I mean, I guess not really surprising. How long has it been out?
Rampage has been with us for 6 weeks.
6 weeks. Okay.
But it's Rock, and he is arguably, if not the number one star, one of the top three stars in America as far as box office.
Of course.
So.
You know, very recognizable, man.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's brought in just under $300 million so far. I hope it hits that bump. I hope it hits that $300 million bump. Mm. It deserves it. RBG coming in number 10. Just a domestic gross at $3.8 million. Not doing wonderful, but I'm sure people are loving it if they see it. Because that's the kind of movie, if you go to see it, you really want to see it.
Yeah. It's you know, the tale of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
All right. Some other noticeable ones. Number 11, I Feel Pretty. 12, Super Troopers 2. 13, Black Panther. 14, Tully. 15, Disobedience. 17, Blockers, still in the top 20. Isle of Dogs, Truth or Dare. And 2001, A Space Odyssey, re-release.
Oh man.
Stanley Kubrick.
I might have to cop that.
Yeah, that'd be a hell of a movie to see in the big screen. Yeah. So. That's pretty awesome, actually.
And people go see Isle of Dogs.
That was Kubrick, right? 2001?
Yeah.
People are still seeing Isle of Dogs. I did get a chance to see I Feel Pretty. I thought it was as generic as people were saying.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see it because a friend of mine wanted to see it, and she took me just for my birthday, and I was like, okay, we'll go see this. And I was hoping it wasn't generic, but it just kind of was.
Yeah.
Amy Schumer, while funny at times, most of her comedy fell flat. But it was a lot. I was probably the only guy in the theater of probably 50 or 60 people. And it's funny, when they would laugh, I wouldn't. And when I would laugh, they wouldn't. So it's funny because we were laughing at different things. I noticed that was an interesting thing to bring up. So, All right. Moving right along here. I'm sorry for the silence, folks. Release this past weekend, Deadpool 2 Show Dogs Book Club, May 25th, just around the corner, a few days from the posting of this episode, is Solo, A Star Wars Story. A lot of people are looking forward to that. June 1st, Upgrade, Action Point, and Adrift. June 8th, Hereditary, Ocean's 8, and Hotel Artemis. June 15th, The Incredibles 2, Superfly, Gotti, Tag. June 22nd, another huge week, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, which we know the first one, the Jurassic World, is in the billion-dollar club. Assume this one will be no worse.
Do you think it has
the
potential?
This one, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And because I'm excited that I give the writers credit here for something I didn't think they'd do. They're going back to the island. He's going back to the island to rescue Blue.
Yeah.
To make sure nothing bad happens to him. That's why I'm excited, because you know we've seen that scene in the trailer where he approaches Blue from a long way away, and Blue wants to kill him because it's a dinosaur, but then Blue doesn't. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
That's going to be a – hey, we have a couple weeks of exciting movies.
We do.
You know? And
we really do. You know, this is going to be a good summer. We're just now going into it too. Good summer. All right. Nick, how do you feel about Bradley Cooper and Clint Eastwood being reunited again? Because they did American Sniper.
Yeah.
In 2014. Do you see American Sniper?
Oh yeah, of course.
That's a hell of a movie. Well, it's a great movie. I wouldn't say it's one of the best of the year, but it's still a pretty good movie.
It was a very solid movie. Touching too. And Bradley Cooper, man, he took the character of Chris Kyle, and I mean, I haven't read the book, but I know when the movie was out, a lot of people read his book, and they talked about the story and whatnot. But on screen, Bradley Cooper, I mean, he took the character, man. It's interesting when actors can do that.
Well, I think it's interesting, as young as Bradley Cooper is, he's made quite a name for himself in leading man roles. It usually takes people a lot longer to get to where he is as far as, presence on screen. But he really did do well in American Sniper. Mm-hmm. And he's done well in almost everything he's been in. He's really got that. I know he caught the eye of David O. Russell in American Hustle. Yeah. He's been in lots of good movies. Actually, the majority of stuff he's in is actually pretty good. And those people that were into that stuff, into the, the One Tree Hill crowd, he was in Jack and Bobby in 2004. On the WB before it switched over, the whole One Tree Hill, Everwood kind of that kind of show. But Jack and Bobby was a story of two brothers who grew up, obviously in reference to American history, who grew up in the War of Americas when the world's at war, and talking about their heroic deed. And you got to figure out which brother is president and which brother is dead. But it didn't make it past. I don't think it got renewed for a third season. I don't even think it finished the second season. But the first season, if you have a chance to watch it, is stellar.
Yeah.
Super good. I just think it fell off the wagon in season two, but so, I think it was a season two.
So Clint Eastwood, which is a brilliant director and actor.
Oh yeah.
He set a bar pretty much. But
everything he does, you know you're walking into a good. Your $10 is well spent.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's not like going to Gotti. You're like, do I really want to spend $10 on this? No. You watch a Clint Eastwood movie, you're getting your money's worth.
Yeah.
Especially, what's your favorite Clint Eastwood movie? Of like the newer, from 2008, The Changeling on, what's your favorite so far?
Oh, man. That is a good question.
I'm going to have to go for myself, Gran Torino.
See, that's the first thing that came to mind was Gran Torino, because that is a brilliant film.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is probably your answer. You go with your instincts.
So. Yeah.
That's a good movie.
I probably should have just said it. But yeah, I mean, Gran Torino is... I watched it with my grandfather, and because he was a big Clint Eastwood fan. And he popped it in. I was like, "Wow, this is a pretty freaking good movie." I mean, there's a couple different things in there that, isn't very PC. But hey, Clint Eastwood, that's a man who can do what he wants, pretty much.
He's earned it. Yeah. I mean, with his career, he's definitely earned it.
I actually just watched Joe Kidd not too long ago.
Okay.
And that was surprising because I've. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is probably one of my favorite movies with him. And
that's a great movie. That's even a great score by Marconi. That's a wonderful score, too. So,
but what are they teaming up with?
It's called The Mule. They were last together in American Sniper 2014. And it's based on a New York Times article by Sam Dolnick. It follows Leo Sharp, a decorated World War II vet who begins to run drugs for a Mexican cartel.
Oh.
I'm sure you can figure out which one Clint Eastwood will play.
Yeah.
He'll play the World War II... Cooper is gonna. It will. Cooper's not confirmed. He's still in talks to play Colin Bates, DEA agent, trying to track this guy down. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it's gonna be like, you remember American Made with Tom Cruise?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think a lot's gonna be like that. Can be maybe a Catch Me If You Can vibe. You tend to follow or take notes from what was very successful. Catch Me If You Can was horribly, terribly successful, meaning very successful.
Yeah.
And so, American Made did all right. Some, there are a lot of movies in there that did okay, that I'm sure they'll take cues from. And so I'm looking forward to seeing that, because I like Clint Eastwood's way of telling a story.
Oh, yeah.
I think the man knows how to tell a story. The one thing I have is a lot of his takes, and one gripe I have about Gran Torino is some of his takes are like, you should have taken another take for that. But he only does like 8-hour shoot days, and then he moves on.
Yeah.
He does one or two takes, and he just moves on. If he's got it, he's got it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. So.
I mean, reshoots are always a pricey thing, right?
Costly, very costly, yeah. But I mean,
if
If you need it, you need it. If you don't, you don't. But
I mean, if you're a director and you feel like it's a good enough shot, if you feel like the characters are caught well, you know, I mean, by all means, throw it in your movie. But, I mean, hey.
But if you're George Lucas making episode, any of the Star Wars prequels, do 17 takes, please. Yeah. For the fans, please take 17 takes.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with taking that extra take at the end of the day. Yeah.
No. Do you ever watch the, I don't know if you watched the special features for the Lord of the Rings movies. In one of them, they made a collage of every time Peter Jackson said, one more for luck. And they just, it was like 17 minutes of him just saying one more for luck, like over and over again.
Oh, wow.
And another bit of news, DiCaprio and Spielberg are going to be together again. Catch Me If You Can was last time they were together in 2002, but can you just take a wild guess at what character they're portraying in his new movie? In one of his new movies. I know he's got West Side Story, another Indiana Jones on the docket, but this is one of his newer projects.
Can you give me a little a hint?
I can give you hints all day. You never do. Yeah. It's a Ulysses S. Grant biopic.
Oh, man, hey. Should have just said Civil War.
Civil War. You'd be like, Grant, done.
So, Leo's in talks?
Leo's in talks. Not yet confirmed, but when you announce this pair might be together, they're going to be together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. The Civil War is...
People love it.
Yeah. It's, you know, the only war to be on American soil, and it just so happens it was America fighting against America.
Well, nothing else was going on in the world that time. At least nothing involved us, so... Mm-hmm. Give me one.
That is a very important war, too.
Civil War is... A lot of people love it. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, you know, they Pennsylvania, especially being in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, were right around that area where a lot of action took place. Yeah. So I know in this area, it's the history tends to be deeper and richer for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So
have you ever been to Gettysburg?
I've been to Gettysburg once. I was very young. I don't remember it. It was a mistake for my parents to take me when I was that young because I wasn't going to remember anything about Gettysburg.
That's fantastic. They tell me
I enjoyed
place.
It. I mean,
yeah, of course.
So, I know a friend of mine just went to, it wasn't Gettysburg. It was somewhere in Pennsylvania that a major battle went down, and they were really enjoying it. All the museum tours and all the tours, mm-hmm. but history fascinates a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. So.
That little ditty as well.
That would be pretty interesting. I'm guessing Leo would hopefully play Ulysses.
Ulysses, time the Civil War rolled around, is kind of older, so we'll see what he does. I don't know why you'd announce him if he wasn't playing the title character.
Yeah,
but yeah, we'll see. Ulysses S. Grant, who was able to out military General E. Lee, which is supposed to be a military mastermind. Yeah. So there's always that. So I like when Spielberg, because when he announces a movie, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a huge deal. So.
And you refer to Catch Me If You Can, which is one of those movies that it's surprisingly wonderful.
And it holds up well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Leo was, I wouldn't say he was very young, but it was just like coming after the 90s and Tom Hanks was there, you know?
He was like, come on, Leo, do this movie with me.
But yeah, go see that if you haven't.
You know, a movie I didn't like around that time, Gangs of New York.
Oh man, I like that movie.
I don't. Every time I watch it, I'm like, I like it less and less every time I watch it.
It's a rough 3 hours.
Very much. Well, it's longer than it has to be too.
Yeah.
Let's admit that.
You know, it really is.
It's probably 25 minutes longer than it has to be. So.
I mean, that's just Scorsese. He tries to. Maybe outdo himself every time.
That was a big year and a half for Leo, though. Mm-hmm. Two huge movies. Jeez Louise, with two huge directors. Yeah. Jeez. Kind of put Leo back on the spotlight for a lot of people. And Zombieland, now I'm excited about this, maybe getting a sequel.
I heard a rumor the other day.
Yeah, that's exciting. I love the first Zombieland. It's aiming for an October 2019 release. Ruben Fleischer, who is the director, is returning. And though no one else was confirmed in the cast, they did really enjoy working with him. So him being back on the project is that's a very good sign for people, you know, Woody Harrelson and Emma Stone, Jesse Eisenberg, all coming back. And I got to tell you, what's your favorite moment from that movie? I have my favorite moment. It's legendary.
That movie's so enjoyable when I've watched it probably plus 20 times. I don't know, when they're maybe smashing up the Navajo shop, or, you know, when the piano falls on that.
Wait, when they're smashing up the Navajo shop, is that when they finally put it together that the dog that Harrison was talking about was his son? And that, it's around that time.
I think it's a little bit after that, but I don't know, man. That movie's so enjoyable.
I think so. And you know what my favorite part? It's, I think the funniest, one of the, it, the comedy comes out of nowhere for me. It was him and Eisenberg, no, sorry, Eisenberg and Emma Stone's character, who are, their name states. Who was he? He wasn't Wichita. She was Wichita. I can't remember.
There was Tallahassee, Wichita, drawing a blank.
Whichever one he was, they were, like, he'd been trying to make out with Emma Stone now for, like, a long time in the movie. And, like, they're just about to do it, and then Woody Harrelson comes around the corner. And he says, like, just as they're getting ready to kiss, he goes, "Hey, we're building a fort downstairs.
We're building a fort."
Bring some pillows. Completely ruining the moment, but, like, Harrelson comes around the corner so serious, too. That's why I laughed so hard at that. I'm super glad we're getting a sequel to that, if we get it. Very excited about that. And, as mentioned before, Deadpool 2, kicking ass, best opening record for an R-rated film on Friday. $53.5 million.
See, I read an article the other day that it was maybe going to surpass It. And it did. I'm glad it did.
It just barely broke 50, and this did 53.5.
Wow.
So
that's awesome. Good.
I would never have guessed. You told me, you tell me 5 years ago that a Deadpool movie is going to beat the opening day record for Radar. I'd have been like, hell no. You must be smoking the rock, buddy. I don't know if you smoked the rock. But
I'm telling you, man, that movie's a phenomenon. And like I said,
I think it pretty much defies. I think it pretty much defies all logic of, like, film professors around the world. They're like, why is this movie doing so well? It's so dumb. But
oh, that character, man, the Deadpool character, and I'm going to repeat myself probably this episode and next week. Ryan Reynolds brought that character to life. He kills it as him. I don't know. When he breaks the fourth wall, hey. It's whatever. Still
well,
funny.
It works in Deadpool. Exactly. With the tone of the movie, it works. That's what works so well. And he breaks the fourth wall, even in the trailer for Deadpool 2. You can see in the trailer, so you know he's going to break the fourth wall at least once or twice. So.
Well, yeah.
And a little more news. Bond 25. Daniel Craig, we all know, is confirmed. Danny Boyle is confirmed. And coming with them, Q, Ben Whishaw. I may have said that wrong. He first played Q in 2012 Skyfall, but he's coming back as well. So all the pieces are falling into place for the next Bond movie. I know people love that franchise. So actually, Amazon's running a special. I just saw it a few days ago. You can get, it's all one collection, the first 24 Bond movies for $100.
Wow.
On Blu-ray. Like, tons of special features. That's a hell of a steal.
That really is a steal. Wow.
Yeah. So if you're a Bond fan, you do not own that. You should probably own that. Get them all. Watch all the special features. You can watch how debonair like Sean Connery was in his youth.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And, as always, trailer watch. All right, Solo, A Star Wars Story. Brought to us by Ron Howard, the last director to sign on. Alden, how you say his name?
Einreich.
Donald Glover, Emilia Clarke, Woody Harrelson, Thandie Newton, Paul Bettany, Jon Favreau, Linda Hunt. The list goes on. What do you think of the trailer?
I
know we talked about it before. Movie. Do you think it's going to do the character of Han Solo justice?
Well, see, that's the thing. One of the only movies that I've seen with Alden Ehrenreich was Hail Caesar. And to be honest, I don't know. And I'm afraid, but I hope he does.
Early reports are coming in that it's actually a pretty good movie.
And that's what I've been hearing. When it opened up.
Makes you wonder how he got cast. It makes you wonder how he got that part.
Well,
I'm sure there's several people went up for that.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, who would you have put in, if you could?
Because that's young anymore. Leo would have been my go-to 10 years ago, but I don't know anyone young. Maybe anyone rugged like that.
It's tough.
I think it would have been tough. It would have been have to be, I think, Michael Arangano is too young, too old for that. You know, most people don't know who that is. Michael Arangano, he was in The Forbidden Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He is such a... He was in Sky High with Kurt Russell.
Okay, wow. Super,
He is such a good young actor.
Is that the son?
The son
of Sky High? Okay.
The commander's son, yeah. I think he could do... I think he's been cheated out of a real good career so far. He's been way overlooked. But as far as a young Han Solo, I just don't know. I don't know who I would cast in that. I've actually thought about this extensively. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's tough because that character is just... You put it on a pedestal.
You do. No matter what you do, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Yep. And I've said this before, and I said this today to someone who was looking forward to it. I'm like, and I asked this person, okay, answer me this one question. I took his excitement, kind of toned it down. I said, does anything Han Solo does in this movie that wasn't referenced in the original trilogy matter? Mm. And his face went from pure excitement to, oh my God, you're right. It doesn't, because nothing was ever referenced.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's always that. I don't know how that's going to go, but I'm sure Ron Howard's, even though he came in way late in the game, he's a good enough director. I'm sure that question was asked and he answered it. So,
speaking of Ron Howard.
Speaking of Ron Howard.
Arrested Development is, they're having a fifth season.
After that awful fourth season?
Well, here's the thing, and
by the way, the best statements start with, here's the thing.
Here's the thing. Arrested Development is one of those shows that it's a hidden gem.
The first three seasons are bloody brilliant.
They really are. And
you know why? Because it's just one joke app, but it builds. Yeah. Like, the jokes are all, like, the first season, all the jokes are laid. In the second and third season, every joke is like, it just builds on another joke that was said way before.
So it's on Netflix now, obviously. And they redid, like, so they had the fourth season, obviously. And I looked at it the other day because I found out that they're making a fifth season. And they rehashed the fourth season.
To put it in chronological order, I heard, or put it in order that makes sense. In order that makes sense, is that still happening? Is that a thing?
I don't know. I didn't watch it, and I was wondering if I should, you know? I mean, that's just, I probably will.
You've seen them, right?
I've seen all the seasons.
I was one of the fans that I watched Arrested Development a long time ago on the DVDs, on the mm-hmm. box sets. And then when Arrested Development was coming out, a fourth season, I rewatched them all, super excited. And I watched it. I watched the whole thing because it came out all at once, and I was just like, "Wow, that's a big letdown."
Yeah,
that must be like what a first time is for a lot of girls. When a guy doesn't have any experience, it's like, "Wow, okay, that was a letdown." But anyway, sorry. So Arrested Development, recutting it to make sense.
But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the fifth season. Yeah, I think I will. Go ahead and watch the series one more go round.
It's worth it. I love Jason Bateman. I think he's so friggin' funny. And I'll tell you what is the Ozark on, I think it's Amazon or Netflix. One of the two has it. It's exclusive. Netflix. But that is a hell of a show. Oh, yeah. You seen that?
Oh, yeah.
We only have a first season, right? We don't have a season two.
Mm-hmm. I mean, season two is confirmed that it's coming, but...
Ozark is on the same level to me as Breaking Bad. Because on Breaking Bad, you watch there every episode, you're like, how in the world are they going to get out of this? Mm-hmm. And same with Ozark.
Yeah.
His family has to escape, run to a place where he's in witness protection. Isn't he witness protection, is it? Or he's being protected from someone...
I think he...
Or did he leave himself?
I think he left himself, and...
He only left himself, and there's... He's trying to... keep his family safe from these crazy people who find him, and like every episode, it's just like, how is he going to get out of this? Oh my goodness. But I'll tell you what, the man wears New Balance shoes better than anyone else I've ever seen. So.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for Arrested Development Season 5.
Will do.
Anyways.
All right. We got off topic of Star Wars, but I think it's going to be, it opens soon. It's already been tested. I mean, the prints are most definitely in the theaters by now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction that opening Memorial Day weekend, I say less than $150 million.
Less than $150 million. I'm going to go ahead and say $200 million plus.
I thought you were going to do the $150 and $1.
Yeah. 200 plus, man.
All right, 200 plus. That's a sizable number. I just don't think people care. I think people have been burned by the prequels. They don't want to ruin one of the best things. They're like, no. Han Solo has not been ruined yet. I don't want to. Nope. So.
And I have all the hope for Solo. Hope so.
Anyways. I do too, but the prequels have ruined the I hope so's.
Yeah.
So let's, you know.
Hey, I'm going to say it now. Believe me, don't believe me. Solo's setting up a Lando Calrissian movie.
That's what everyone keeps saying.
I'm telling you.
Why do people care about these? why do people care? Why does everything have to have an origin story these days? I was, years ago, when they first started doing all these origin stories, a huge fan of telling everything. But is it necessary?
No, it's not. But people want it. People want to buy it.
You know? And that's what the studio knows, of course, that
exactly.
people will pay money to watch this.
Yeah.
I'll bet you, what do you want to bet that MoviePass goes down? I'm putting up quotation marks. If it goes down unexpectedly for Solo.
Yeah.
Because they did that for Black Panther. It was down
oh.
for like 2 days because they wanted to, all the people charging.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, I'll bet you it. There's an accidental mishap with MoviePass's for Solo weekend. Hotel Artemis by director Drew Pierce, Dave Bautista, Jodie Foster, Jeff Goldblum, Zachary Quinto, Charlie Day. Nick, first impressions.
It looks bad but enjoyable.
It looks quirky.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I don't want to shit on the film, especially since I haven't seen it. But it looks like a film I'd watch on like a Saturday night, maybe 12 at night.
It's got to be midnight to watch that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. It just seems like one of those films that...
It's got a hell of a cast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, is it Glenn Close?
No.
No?
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster, wow. How'd I...
But Jeff Goldblum, Zachary Quinto, I mean, he's huge from Star Trek. Charlie Day, Dave Bautista, who's riding off of Guardians and Avengers fame. I mean, you can't go wrong with anyone in that cast, but I think as much as I want this movie to do well, I think it's going to fall flat. I really do. We'll see, though. I mean, it's just one of those things. We'll see. Crazy Rich Asians. Director John Chu, Constance Wu, Michelle Yeoh, Henry Golding, Gemma Chan, Ken Jeong. This, to me, looks funny. It looks like it'll have a big weekend, and then you'll never hear of it again.
Yeah. I can see that happening to this movie.
This is going to have a huge overseas market, though.
Oh, like, yeah.
Huge.
Oh. Definitely.
It's going to crush the domestic take. The foreign take will crush the domestic take. I have no doubt about that.
Now, is this a... do you know what studio released this film?
I don't know. Lionsgate's coming to... a flag is raising in my head for Lionsgate. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But It looks pretty similar to just your basic romantic comedy. A guy has to choose. And we keep in mind, we just had that with Overboard. The remake of Overboard. A guy has to choose between his family and the girl he loves. And that's not the whole plot, but that's the plot in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Do you get the studio?
I cannot find it. But, I mean, it does look like one of those movies, one of those family movies. And it introduces in the trailer as, you know, the mother, or well, the son and his girl, which are pretty much the main characters, are in a lover's quarrel because the family doesn't like her, you know?
Yeah, but that's like an age-old story. That's been going on since men and women have been a thing.
Yeah.
Back to the cave days is moms aren't going to like... They're not going to like the girlfriend. They never do.
I got to tell you, honey, my mother despises you.
I got to tell you. And then they move on like one of those old laugh tracks from I Love Lucy. funny. Like I said, I think it'll have a big weekend, and at least domestically, and then you'll never hear of it again.
Yeah.
It'll just go away. All right, Nick. Moving on to the big moment of this episode, Life of the Party. Melissa McCarthy leading the way. Give me your first impressions of Life of the Party.
I got to tell you, I'm not a big Melissa McCarthy fan.
I'm either with her, it's either a home run for me or it's a complete strikeout.
Mm-hmm. I think this one was a home run.
I think so. I think it was good. I find it funny that it was... Now, it was written by Ben Falcone and Melissa McCarthy, but it's directed by a guy. In a world where we get in tons of movies all the time, like Ocean's 8 with a full female cast, and this one we're like, you'd think... Imagine Wonder Woman directed by a guy.
Well,
would it have, with the exact same cast, exact same script, exact same budget, everything's the same. Let me ask you. So we've seen this. It's a raunchy comedy, directed by a guy. If it was directed by a woman, do you think it'd have been different? What if Melissa McCarthy had directed it?
I don't know, man. That's
a good question, isn't it?
It's
one of those things you can never know.
Exactly, because a director always has their own vision.
Exactly, and like they're telling the character how to. I mean, they got the pretty much the movie in their head how it's going to play out.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, that's I hate how you brought up Wonder Woman, because that was such a it was a really good movie, and if it was directed by someone else, it probably would have been completely different.
It would have been complete. Steve Trevor would have been the main character instead of almost the main character, you know.
But back to Life of the Party, man.
Life of the Party.
It was, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's a mom going back to college, and you know her daughter's there, and
a lot of the great questions, like for example, I'm with these movies, I always have a list of things in my head I want them to touch on. Number one, especially this one, where I wanted the line that you knew was coming was somewhere the daughter says, you know what, you know they get into a fight, you shouldn't be here, kind of a playful but like more serious. And then the daughter would come around by the end and say, you know, you should stay, Mom. I don't want you to leave. Stay. Yeah. And then, you know, the mom, of course, brings up at least one of the few points I wanted to bring up was, I don't want you to remember your senior year of college ruined because I was here. Mm. That, I thought, was pretty mature of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Of this very immature movie, I thought that part was mature at least. So I was happy that we got that. Are there any things you were looking for that we either didn't get or we got?
To be honest, no. I mean, I went into this movie with a clear head. You know, I wasn't. Well, I was obviously judging it before because, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Melissa McCarthy. I will repeat that again.
She's
I'm not
funny,
a huge
though.
Fan of Melissa McCarthy. She is funny.
She's funny.
Mike,
know?
I will say, I enjoy Mike and Molly sometimes. I can't remember any other memorable movies that she's been. Oh well, actually, never mind. You know, I'm shitting all over her, and I shouldn't be. Heat?
Crapping. Heat with, but that was good, I think, because of Sandra Bullock, though. Let's be honest there. She was Gilmore Girls for a long time. She was Suki in Gilmore Girls. I liked Ghostbusters, which, of course, fell flat.
Yeah.
The Boss, which didn't do a lot. The Spy, which didn't do much. Tammy, people liked. I think generally liked Tammy. And, of course, The Hangover Part 3, everyone loved that.
What was,
Identity Thief.
That's
with Jason Bateman.
I enjoyed that movie.
But Jason carried that movie.
Yeah.
Oh. He was the reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Bridesmaid. Look away! Bridesmaid, of course. The backup plan is going down through her list real quick. Cook Off. Then, yeah. So I think the first really big one she was in was by herself, or like as Melissa McCarthy, with probably, you know, Bridesmaids.
Yeah. Which Bridesmaids was a hit for people.
Oh, it was a hit.
I've never seen it.
And the backup plan, that was Jennifer. What was her name? Jennifer from the Block. Who is she? She was Slater's. Slater's last name is Slater on the.
Kelly Slater?
No. From Saved by the Bell. What? Jennifer. Married to Ben Affleck for a while. Who was that? What's her last name?
I'm drawing a blank, man.
Jeez Louise, how are we not doing this? Backup plan. I'm gonna kick myself when I see it. Lopez. Lopez. Jeez.
Jennifer
Lopez. I don't forget that. Anyway, she was in that, but that was, of course, that was Jennifer Lopez. She was in Life We Know, but that was, I think, Katherine Heigl and Josh Duhamel. Yeah, that was those two. And then she really, you know, I think Bridesmaids 2011 was her first, you know, as Melissa McCarthy.
So, to be honest, I hated it so much because it was so cheesy, but it works. And that's why I loved it, too. You know,
but after you kind of accept the cheese, because they never explains like her morbid fear of public speaking.
Yeah,
and as funny as that is, I needed an explanation. I never got it.
And that's that. To me, that was the most cringiest scene that I just sat through, and I was like, "What?" Like,
but I think I think that the point was like it was supposed to be cringeworthy, but like it was just over the top. Like you said, cheesy cringeworthy. It was over the top cringeworthy. So. Anyway, but that's late in the film. But so we're starting off. She's dropping off her daughter for her senior year of college. Her daughter is starting her last year of college, and you can tell there's something is wrong between her and her husband. They drive away. The husband, Walsh from Old School.
Yeah.
I love that guy, Walsh. He finding her husband. He wants to get a divorce. She loses it right away, kicks the car. He's like, whoa, this is a rental. Stop, this is a rental. And then, like, I love how she gets out, opens the door, walks away, and, like, purposely leaves the door open. So he has to reach over and close and looks down at the dent. He's like, oh, they're going to charge me for that. It's like, you deserve that, Walsh, being a boring prick from Old School. You deserve that.
Jeez. That was I hate. Well, his character is obviously it's a hateable person.
He's very unlikable. Yeah. He's just such a little turd, you know.
Yeah.
Someone that you know what's funny about that is someone who is it's someone who is very unlikable, but wouldn't is exactly the kind of guy that would have been married to boring Deanna, Melissa McCarthy's character, so growing up. But and then that kind of kicks her into gear. She wants to go back to school to finish after 20 years. By the way, credits aren't good after 7 years. Just FYI.
Oh, really?
You can't just walk back into college after 2 decades. Things have changed in science. Pluto's not a planet anymore. Pluto, well, it's been reinstated.
Yeah.
You can't just credits do expire. That's a big, you know, huge loophole there. But
you know what was interesting? I was interested to see that she got her schedule and all that on a piece of paper,
rather instead of email to her. Yeah. Like, yeah, of course, yeah.
Obviously, they did that for the movie because
I loved her her roommate.
Yeah. Oh my
god, it was creepy ass gothic chick.
I wrote in my notes yin and yang's roommate situation because that's exactly how it is. You know, I mean. Sometimes you get a roommate that you really enjoy.
Heidi Gardner, and I'm looking at her picture right now. She's actually gorgeous.
Really?
But in the movie, she is the opposite of gorgeous. But when I'm looking at her picture, yeah, she's gorgeous. So
her cousin in the movie is pretty gorgeous, too.
Christina Aguilera?
Yes.
Yeah, she's...
Hey, she's still got it,
I was
going
to say, on the Knicks still got a meter, she's still got it. Okay, go on, sorry.
But yeah, dude, her dark roommate that we just... It was so funny because, you know, Melissa McCarthy's character in this movie is just so peppy and bright and, you know, it brings in a lot of sunshine and always says those jokes.
Of course, they're complete opposite.
Yes. And it's just, you know, I don't know. I did enjoy that little, you know, between them.
You know, there's a scene when they're being mediated when her ex-husband comes to the mediation with his new soon to be wife, played by Julie Bowen, who on the Still Got It meter. What do you think, Nick?
She's still got it.
And it's funny because the woman who sits down is like, I'm not a judge. I'm here to mediate. Whatever you say to me. And then they immediately start insulting each other, but like looking at each other, but they're pointing to the mediator, like, you suck. But like the mediator's like. And then, what is it, Maya Rudolph. Maya Rudolph is like, she keeps saying things that don't make any sense. Like, I move to dismiss the case. Yeah. And she's like, I'm not a lawyer. She's in a court of law. You can't do that.
I'm not a judge. And she's, she's like, I've just been reading stuff on LegalZoom.
And she's like, my client should be absolved of all the charges. She's like, no one's being charged with anything. You're fine. Stop.
Now, I don't know how divorces work.
You haven't been through one yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Probably in the future, though. I've seen two movies recently, with this being one of them, that divorce was one of the main things that happened. And it just seems like a really shitty situation.
Yeah.
Really crappy situation.
It is. Sorry, folks, we're trying to curse less.
Yeah.
We were not watching our cursing in the beginning of the show, but I've recently made the decision we should probably start cursing less. But no, it's always a messy situation. Mm-hmm. It's never divorce. It's like a bad breakup in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, if you hear birds chirping, I can't stop the birds chirping. It's like a bad breakup in high school. It just sucks. Like there's no way around it. You know, financials get split. Everything gets split. You know, it's funny that they never once talked about the daughter. Never once. Even though the daughter's 21, they never once brought her up in mediation.
Yeah.
Not that you'd have to. Cause then she's 21.
Yeah, exactly.
22. But no, like, I think that would still be brought up in the mediation.
Yeah, and that was weird because like. The daughter obviously is a plays a big role in this movie, but not as big as you'd think, to be honest.
No, she becomes kind of like
the backdrop.
She becomes the backdrop when the story is told. Like the reason the story is taking place is because her daughter was born. She couldn't finish school at the time.
Yeah.
I love when they go. Another miss, I think, is when another hilarious miss is they have their first big frat party. They go try to get the try to integrate the mother into the college atmosphere. And, you know, the mother actually starts making it fun. She starts dancing. Everyone's impressed. And then we cut to the next morning where both the mother and the daughter are walking out of separate rooms in the frat house.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And the daughter is, like, accusing her mother of, like, you're leaving a frat house. And, like, knowing that she just slept with a guy in college. And, but, like, it never once brought – Melissa McCarthy's never, like – or Deanna, Melissa McCarthy's character, never once, like, you're coming out of a guy's room, too.
Yeah.
Never once was that brought up. Like, they just must have avoided it altogether.
Mm-hmm.
I love how she kept talking about – that was the Vagoogle scene.
Yeah.
Like, I scared Jack with Mike Vagoogle twice last night. And then her daughter's just like, Mom, I never once asked you what happened.
Yeah.
Stop talking. Stop telling me about it. I don't want to know.
One character is the boyfriend of the daughter, which was played by – which named Tyler was played by Jimmy O. Yang.
Jimmy Yang. All right.
Which I – that I swear to – you know.
Not really the boyfriend. They were just like
– well, I
they we never knew what they were.
Yeah, that's very true.
We never knew what they were at all.
Which
I think was – I was thinking about that and – I was trying to think the reason for that. It was because, again, that's I think one of the ways they try to keep the story off of the daughter and mm-hmm. on the mother.
Yeah.
So
he plays Jin Yang in Silicon Valley.
Oh, it's
which,
him.
Yeah. Which in Silicon Valley, the character Jimmy O Yang plays is very, you know, obviously very Asian, and you can it's hard to transcribe what he says sometimes, but that was the cleanest I've ever heard him talk.
Well, he probably speaks flawlessly.
Oh yeah,
English.
I mean, I'm sure he's probably very fluent. But
yeah.
That's just you know, it's just interesting for the character.
What do you think about the girl that played kind of the antithesis to the girl in the class that really
mm-hmm.
meant to look like a slutty sorority girl who just kept giving him crap? What do you think about her? Like, do you think? I mean,
she got it.
That was
but I'll say that. I kind of hated her character.
Well, to me, it just didn't make any sense.
It was the...
Never had that... never came full arc, either completely hated or won her over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you can make an argument. Once the movie finishes, you can make an argument that I guess they're kind of friends, but we never get that.
Not,
are they? Or
yeah,
are they
exactly.
or they just not hate each other? Like, there's a big difference.
I think it's more of the... not really respect, but I know you're here. I'm going to deal with it. Whatever.
I actually was looking for, because I referenced the morbid public speaking fear that Deanna has in the same class this awful girl meets her, is I kind of was hoping that she'd play a role in helping her get past that.
Ooh.
But again, sorry for this, but she doesn't play any kind of role like that. I wanted, because I mean, like, that's another miss, is Melissa McCarthy is an older woman. She's been around. She has a child. She has the marriage. She had a house. She had life experience.
Yeah.
The one thing these girls don't have, and she never, outside the main group giving them advice, she never really gets to be that mother hen to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of hoping like that was what this other girl was missing, but it never came into play like that. I was disappointed. I was very disappointed in that, I will admit.
One of my favorite things about this movie was the 80s party.
Was that Tina Turner? Who was that? Who's she supposed to be?
Well, I think she was just one of those...
just wonderfully dressed 80s girls?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think one of the girls was Tina Turner, and the other one was just like an aerobics, you know.
Oh, speaking of one of the girls, the Helen, the girl that was in a coma?
Yeah.
She's hilarious. Coma girl. She is so funny. Holy crap.
She was a bit more of a main character, I feel, because...
Well, she was a big supporter of Deanna in the beginning and, like, wanted her to continue her...
Mm-hmm. It was Helen by...
That was Helen by Jillian Jacobs.
Jillian Jacobs.
I'm telling you, I'm going to steal this one from Nick. She's got it.
She's got it? Oh, yeah.
She's got it. She was in a coma for how long?
8 years.
8 years, had, like, 40,000 Twitter followers. I remember that there's a scene where some guy at one of the parties is talking to her, and she is so annoyed and put off by this guy. She just closes her eyes and, like... goes into another false coma, and the guy's like, oh my god, are you going to a coma? And then she just runs away.
He's like, I would need to get help.
I would need to get help.
I like when she's explaining the coma, you know, how she got it and whatnot, and she's like, I woke up with C-cups and I grew 4 feet or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
She still got it.
And,
still got it.
See, that's the thing about this movie. There's some surprising, you know, funny moments, but there's all around. It's filled with funny moments, too.
It is. And it's filled with, like, surprisingly funny moments too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Like, comedy you don't really see coming at all.
The one of my favorite things was the archaeology jokes.
Archaeology jokes really were funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those awful puns, but, like, laughably funny.
They were so horrible. The one Miss Melissa McCarthy says, what a lovely sediment. You know?
Yeah, and the teacher was just dropping him left and right. I've seen him before in many different things.
Chris Parnell, I believe.
Oh, is that Chris Parnell?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It is Chris Parnell. He's, yeah, I've seen him many times.
Yeah. But, man, that's, yeah, there were some funny things, and that goes a lot along with the public speaking thing, because he does introduce that everyone has to do their project to pass.
But he doesn't do anything to help her. He just kind of sits there and watches her pass out, her pit stains and everything. And, like, it's kind of
And that happens, and then you're just like, nothing comes from that. You know, nothing stems, and we've said that. But why? Why do you think they just did?
I thought she was going to become he was going to become like a love interest for her. Like, they were going to start, they were going to go on a date or something, but they never
did. I thought that too.
There's a whole plot that's been cut out. That's an obvious, like, as soon as they set up, as soon as she goes back into class and she's like, oh, he was here 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And, like, she loves archaeology, he loves archaeology.
Exactly.
She's newly single. He is, for all we know, single. It's not like he made an awkward, like, I have a wife or anything. Like, we didn't know, like, that was a big miss to me. That was a huge miss.
And it is so weird because that's exactly what they did. They set it up. I mean, it's a perfect story. You know, she's just recently coming out of a divorce. You know, I mean, she kind of breaks up with her on and off again lover.
Jack,
which was so funny.
I got to say, when I was seeing it in when they sit down to dinner, and you see Jack as they're joined by her ex and her awful new wife, played by Julie Bowen, is just so hot.
Yeah.
She's like the hottest blonde ever, and you see Jack walk up to the table, and then you see, and then, like, I start, and I can admit I was that guy who was disruptive, and I started to laugh and clap because I knew exactly what was going to happen there.
God.
And if you've not seen that movie, if you've not seen Life of the Party, you owe it to yourself to see it. And I'll tell you why. As that scene plays out, perfect.
Yeah. Now, granted, I was probably in the theater with maybe 7 people, and that's exactly what I was doing. I was laughing. I was having a good time at that moment because
I was laughing so hard because when it's revealed, every woman in the theater was like, oh no, he did it. Like, that's so funny to me, is that particular part. I was laughing so hard, I may have peed myself, I don't know. I was slapping my knee, I was laughing so hard because, like, it was so awkward. And put yourself in that situation. Put yourself in a situation where someone who raised you has mortal enemies and you're sleeping with her. Please, put yourself in that situation. That's awful. But hilarious, nonetheless. So, I think all in all for this movie, yes, I would see it with or without MoviePass. I think it's a funny movie. It's got value. It's Melissa McCarthy is not an average, like, your average hit and miss actress. She's better than that.
Yeah.
So, and Maya Rudolph and her husband, her husband's movie are hilarious.
Yeah.
they're kind of trying to rekindle being young and in love again. Mm-hmm. And her parents, Rip Torn.
Yeah.
The guy from Dodgeball is her father. Yes. Hilarious.
Yep.
Like, you can't ask for a better father in that movie. He just played it so well.
I got a gun.
And her mother always trying to make her sandwiches.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
I'm going to make everyone ham sandwiches.
And he's like, great. He doesn't want the ham sandwich.
Yeah.
No, sorry, Stephen Root. Stephen Root.
That's he's also in Barry.
Oh, he's in Dodgeball, but he's the...
He's the player,
He's the guy with the glasses. Yeah, he has the mail order bride. Okay, not Rip Torn. Rip Torn's the coach. Okay, I gotcha. But he's still hilarious, yeah. Hilarious. Wonderful, wonderful dad.
To stem from one thing right here, he's also in a show called Barry on HBO. Check that out. It's pretty decent.
Barry, okay.
But, yeah, man, that's... I really enjoyed this movie, you know.
I didn't expect to.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought it was going to be in its own right, it's not a great movie, but it is. It's very enjoyable, and it's very funny.
When it's funny, it's funny. When it's not, it's not. But when it's funny, you're laughing.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're not, the failure's on your end on this one. It just is. So, Nick, before we move on to the Clark Hayes, do you have anything you want to recommend on any streaming service today?
Honestly, no. I've been trying to get into a couple of shows and movies on Netflix, but to be honest, man, been watching and it just it doesn't work, you know? Yeah, a couple of international shows. I think it's one from Holland or wherever, somewhere in Europe.
Somewhere in the world.
Yeah, but it's just so it's just so stupid, and it ruined it in like the first episode for me. Michael C. Hall is in a show called Safe, and it's not bad. It's long and drawn out.
Okay.
It's not very Dexter like, but it's basically about this. You know, it's about this safe neighborhood. It's a gated community, and his daughter goes missing after a party, and he's trying to find her. Like I said, it's kind of long and drawn out, but it was kind of enjoyable. I'm halfway through episode 2.
Wow.
For about a week now.
Damn, Nick, when you start watching something, you go hard, buddy. Hey, man. Although you did watch Game of Thrones in like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, man, Game of Thrones was
That's a lot of negativity to take in 2.5 weeks.
Oh, man. I was a different person after that.
I can't. Some of those episodes of Game of Thrones, like, I remember one time the guy I was living with at the time with the Red Wedding.
Oh, yeah.
I watched
oh.
the Red Wedding, and he's like, Grace, are you okay? You're just sitting there and you're shaking your hands. Are you okay? I'm just like, I can't do it anymore. I can't watch Game of Thrones.
There was some crazy Game of Thrones stuff happening.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I hope the Lord of the Rings show is a lot like that in terms of production quality mm-hmm. and money they put behind it. Not yeah. so much in like killing people, but more so in the fact like heavily story based. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a big fan of that.
So this Lord of the Rings show you speak of,
I don't know any more than anyone else. I can only, given how much I love the trilogy, I love mm-hmm. the books.
Yeah.
I can, my hopes are we don't cover what we've already covered. Mm-hmm. We don't ruin any characters. I mean, I don't know what Ian McKellen's doing. I don't know if he wants to play Gandalf again. He's mm-hmm. so damn old.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Gandalf is Gandalf. Aragorn, Viggo Mortensen is in talks right now. Okay. Remember, in Two Towers, he's 80.
Yeah.
80. He ages slowly, wow. but he ages. But, I mean, he's only 80, so it's not like they can go back thousands of years mm-hmm. because he wouldn't be there.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I hope this, with the Lord of the Rings show, they stick to whatever known lore there is. And there's mm-hmm. tons of lore in the Tolkien universe. It's oh, just yeah. a matter of where you pluck it from. So I'm super excited about that show. That might be the show I'm excited for the most right now. As far as shows I know about but aren't here yet.
And what is that? What's that gonna come on? Is that streaming or is
it's
that
Amazon?
Amazon, okay.
Wait, is it? Didn't they get the rights?
I don't know.
Amazon or show? I don't think it's HBO or Showtime. I thought it was Amazon. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm very. I could be very wrong about that. I've just. I know there is. It is exclusive to one streaming service. Yeah. So.
But if that. How much in production value do you think?
I think it's 500. It's 500 million for 5 seasons.
Oh wow! Okay.
That's a lot of money.
That's
a lot of money to put up. But
that's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, good. That's something to look forward to.
Agreed. We're a long way away from that, though. But agreed. Mm-hmm. I am very excited about that myself. I really am. As for me, I just saw House came back on Amazon. Super excited to watch that. I never saw the last season, so I might watch that again. I might just watch the whole damn thing. I love House. My favorite show. House is phenomenal. And I don't care what you say. There are episodes in House that are better than any episode of anything you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're season 2 or episode 2 of House when you see what made him a cripple, like, and what he loves in the sport of the sport he was playing, why he's not playing the sport anymore, and like kind of like how he used to play it and how he laments the loss of his leg. There's such good episodes in that show. But I'm super excited House is back streaming again. I'm definitely going to take advantage of that. So moving on to the Clark Hayes. I love comedies. Mm-hmm. I love good comedies. So I was trying to think of one. Immediately, the first one came to mind, although these won't be on the Clark Hayes list yet, but they will be eventually. Obviously, my favorite comedies, Wedding Crashers is my favorite comedy, and Old School is one of my favorite comedies. Mm-hmm. They both have heavy influence on this movie, Life of the Party.
Yeah.
But I reached back further than that. I went back to 1941 Howard Hawks.
Okay.
Great Balls of Fire. You ever heard of that, Nick?
I've heard of it. Never seen it.
Big fan of it. Gary Cooper, Barbara Stanwyck. Hell of a couple on this. Very good on-screen chemistry. It's like I said, Howard Hawks film, 1941. Is about a group of professors that are working on an encyclopedia. They have a run-in with a young girl who's wanted by the police, and she's having trouble with a mob boss lover. Now, therein, it's Barbara Stanwyck is. I was thinking about that when I was watching Life of the Party. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of, there's kind of some similarities there. Her character versus Deanna by Melissa McCarthy on. I was trying to like find some similarities, and there are very similarities. But excuse me, Barbara Stanwyck literally is. She's this energetic little ball of fire that is just. She's so much fun to watch on screen, and on most of the scenes in this movie, she's talking to, you know, she's always in defense up against a bunch of guys. She always comes out on top of the conversation, so that's pretty wonderful. Hmm. It's a Howard Hawks film, 1941, Ball of Fire. Again, I think Life of the Party takes a lot from this one as well, mm-hmm. especially from the character of Deanna, from Barbara Stanwyck's character of Sugar Push O'Shea. So definitely check that out. Gary Cooper's also in it, Henry Travers, Tully Marshall, and a young Dan Duryea is in it. Duryea, I don't know if I said that right. But it's a lot of fun. If you have a chance to see this, see it. Especially with like Life of the Party, check that out. You will not be disappointed ever in that one. As always, you can find us on iTunes. You can check us out there. Or Podbean, where I post the episode directly. Or Google Play, if you're an Android user. By all means, check us out there. The show can be reached at @LoveCinemaPod on Twitter. I'm at Grayson Maxwell 1. Nick?
At @Enmore1776.
He loves America.
Oh, yeah.
Loves America, that Nicholas. Roger, our absentee co-host, can be found on @RogStillion1. Tweet him if you want to talk... what's the movie with the gnomes? Sherlock Gnomes.
Sherlock
if you
gnomes.
Want to talk Sherlock Gnomes, text RogStillion1 about Sherlock Gnomes. And we can be found on Facebook with the same name as the show, For the Love of Cinema. If you want to drop us an email, please, fortheloveofcinemapodcast@gmail.com. Again, fortheloveofcinemapodcast@gmail.com. We have no events in the future, although I'm planning one at a high school locally, so that should be fun. And next week, tune in. We're going to check out Deadpool 2, and I'm going to watch Book Club because I'm intrigued by a bunch of way middle-aged women reading 50 Shades of Grey. I'm intrigued to see how they do this. I want to see how Craig T. Nelson got roped into this. So, again, thank you very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed Life of the Party.
Check you later.
Check you later. Nick's checking you later.